Long before the church had pulpits and play spaces, she had dinner tables and kitchens. Every meal mattered, and Jesus pointed the way. Everyone was welcome when Jesus sat at a table. From VIPs to traitors, from religious leaders to shame-filled sinners, from those in the margins to those at the top, he ate with them all. And every meal became a peek into his new ways of living and new ways of loving. After all, why did Jesus come? He came to serve, to give his life, and to seek and save the lost. And how did he come? He came eating and drinking. What we learn at the table with Jesus is what we need for our tables today.
Welcome again to Calvary Online, and happy Mother's Day to all of you moms out there. We are delighted that you have chosen today, especially to spend some time with us. And today is a really special day for me because I am joined by my favorite person in this world, my best friend, my wife, Tara. So, Tara, welcome. Thank you for joining us today. Tara, I thought it'd be great if you could introduce yourself briefly, maybe let folks know what it is that you do outside of being a mom and a wife, outside of the home, but also maybe your ministry role as well.
So as Sean said, I am his wife, Tara. Sean and I have been married for 28 years in August. We have two girls. Victoria is 23, and she is a fourth grade teacher at Lewistown Intermediate School, right in the Mifflin County School District. And then Brielle just finished up her second year. She's 20 at Penn College, and she is going to be an x-ray technician. I am a paraprofessional in the autistic support classroom at Lewistown Elementary. I've been doing this for about 14 years now. And I think my favorite part about this, because I have to say I don't have too many, because this is not my thing, but is that I have a microphone, and anybody that knows my husband knows that he likes everything to be done just so. And whenever I get a microphone, I sort of put a little wrench into that. And that does not make him, it makes him very nervous, let's put it that way. And I'm not going to lie, I really sort of get a kick out of it.
You do. So. But I'm okay. This is going to be fun, right?
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, so a lot of you know that Tara just had a recent gallbladder surgery, and she's recovering really, really well from that. It has affected her voice a little bit from the tube that they put down her throat, so her voice isn't super strong today, and we're still praying through that. But Tara, I'm just wondering, you know, even with this recent surgery, what are some things that God has taught you through this time?
This journey began about 2.5 months ago, and I have to say I've learned a lot. At the beginning, I wasn't sure what was going on, but God was really, really good in the fact that I feel like every week that maybe I was just having a really bad week, he gave me a word just to get me through that week. And I had three words that were probably the main takeaways for me. I'm still learning, still growing. But those words were faith. I always thought I had faith, but I'm telling you, he deepened it. Repentance. Through this whole process, I got very self-absorbed just because I didn't feel well. So I really had to become repentant and turn from that because God was trying to teach me so much and I was missing it because I was so self-absorbed. And the last one is trust. I have to trust that God's got me, that he loves me more than anything. And the worry and the anxiety, I have to give it to him. I can only do what I can do, and I have to let him take care of the rest.
So good. So let me ask you just a couple of questions before we get into our teaching time today. So as it pertains to motherhood, what's your favorite part about being a mom?
I would say my favorite part is now that my kids are in their 20s, was watching them venture out on their own once we have raised them. They went to college, and making their personal relationship with Jesus their own.
Yeah.
It's been really cool to see that process. Yeah.
So what's the hardest thing for you about being a mom?
Letting them
go
out on their own and make their own decisions and making their relationship. It's hard as parents. It's so hard. But you have to trust that God's got them. And again, you do your part as parents, and you have to let God take care of the rest.
So you mentioned earlier that we have two girls. Which one do you love most?
Both of them. Of course, if you ask either of them, they would say that Tori would say I love Brielle more. Brielle would say I love Tori. Honestly, I feel like she got the short end because she was our guinea pig. She was our first one. So Brielle gets away with everything according to her. Mm,
yep. Has your definition of motherhood changed over time?
Oh my, yes. It has changed a lot. When the kids are little, honestly, you tell them what to do. You tell them what not to do. And for the most part, they listen. As they get older, that changes.
Yeah.
So your parenting style has to change. And one thing I can say, especially as they get into adulthood, you pray a lot.
Yeah.
I'm on my knees a lot.
Yeah. And you definitely are a prayer warrior. And she loves praying over our family, as well as those that she has the opportunity to minister to. One last question. Who's your favorite guy in the world?
It's my husband. No, in all honesty, I truly, especially going through this last bout leading up to my surgery, and I'll probably get emotional, but God put us together, and I know that. And I am so thankful for that, because I could not have done these last 30 plus years without him.
Yeah, it's been quite a journey. It's been good, huh, babe? Yeah. Well, we are targeting today's teaching time towards moms, to the daughters of moms, and to everybody who loves moms. So hopefully that's about everybody that is viewing or listening today. And we also want to say that we understand that Mother's Day can be difficult for some. Maybe your mom has passed away, and this brings back some good but difficult memories. Maybe you were abandoned by your mom. Maybe you have a current painful relationship with your mom. Maybe you have lost a child or are physically not able to give birth. To all of you, we want you to know that you are seen, that you are known, that you are loved by a God who cares so deeply and intimately about every detail of your life. And today we're going to continue our teaching series titled At the Table, and we're going to look at one of my favorite stories in Scripture, the story of Mary and Martha and Jesus visiting their home. It's a great story. It's a hard story, and we're going to talk about that, but we're going to connect it to moms, and we're going to connect it to hospitality as well. And so as we dig into this story today, I think it's important for us to know a few things about these ladies. Mary Martha did not have an easy life. And, you know, there's no indication in Scripture that either of them were married or had children. I mean, my goodness, they watched their brother Lazarus die. They walked through the isolation of Simon's leprosy. And if you didn't know, at a minimum, Simon was a good friend to Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. But some may even suggest that he was their father. So Mary and Martha understood the difficulties of being a woman. But when you read through the Gospels and when you look for Bethany and the home of the sisters, you find that Bethany and the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus may have actually been one of Jesus's most favorite places on earth. I mean, think about this. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus created a space where Jesus could be with his friends and he could just be himself. It was a place of great hospitality, which we're going to focus on today. And Mary and Martha both played a part in that. So I'm going to ask Tara to read through this passage. It's found in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42.
While they were traveling, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who also sat at the Lord's feet and was listening to what he had said. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, and she came up and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? So tell her to give me a hand. The Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has made the right choice, and it will not be taken away from her.
Yeah, let me pray over our time. Father God, we ask that your Holy Spirit would work in each of us right now, that we would listen closely to what it is you have for each of us. And so would you use Tara and I today as we listen to your voice and as we carry that out. So God, would you go before us now? In your name we pray. Amen. So Tara, I just got to wonder, can you imagine opening up our front door and there stands Jesus and his disciples on the sidewalk wanting to come in for a meal? And I know that their culture was really different back then, and that was more of a thing where there was larger gatherings. But what kind of emotions, what kind of anxiety would you experience if you opened up the front door to our home and you saw this?
I've really been thinking about this story since we've been studying it, and I truly cannot imagine. For me, if I were Martha and I opened up the door and saw Jesus and his disciples, I would be like, oh man, I think I would be very anxious for one, because it wasn't just Jesus, it was all of his disciples. I also think I might be a little irritated, like, okay, what's my house look like? How, well, I have to make food for everybody. Like I would have been, and maybe a little discouraged thinking, how are we going to get everything done that needs to be done? So that's just me.
Yeah, it's interesting. And those are some parallel characteristics of Martha, and probably some of the same thoughts that she had going on at that moment. And then on the other hand, in contrast, you have Mary, who's just really super chill. She has this posture about her where she just wants to sit at the feet of Jesus. She prioritized the time that she had with Jesus. She wasn't worried about all the other hoopla. She wasn't worried about the house. She wasn't worried about a meal. And there was no substitute for time. She just wanted to be present with Jesus. So I think it's important for all of us to know that Jesus loved both of these ladies. So Tara, I'm curious, which of the two sisters do you resonate more with?
I am definitely more of a Martha by nature.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And what characteristics do you think that you kind of pull out of either of the sisters?
I feel like because of my Martha personality, as I've gotten older and grown spiritually, I literally intentionally see myself trying to pull the good parts of Martha and then pulling in the good parts of Mary, of just being still and being able to enjoy company and not be stressed out about the dishes and not really trying to bring that together. And it really does make a difference.
Yeah, and you do that really well. So I think there's five things that we can learn from the story of Mary and Martha today. And the first one is that both of these ladies knew what hospitality looks like. I mean, my goodness, Mary sitting at the feet of the Jesus, she was extremely welcoming of him in their home. And then you have Martha, who is just serving and trying to make sure all the preparations are just perfect. I mean, hospitality is a gift, and it's a gift worth sharing, but it shouldn't, we shouldn't say, I don't have that gift of hospitality, so I can't do it. We shouldn't minimize it and rule it out, because I think that there's people sitting around us in our neighborhoods, of course, in the workplace, that are lonely, maybe even somebody in our church buildings that we could be extending that invitation to. So I love that about Mary and Martha both. They both knew what hospitality looks like. What's the second thing about them, Tara?
I think Martha had a bit of comparing, a little bit of self-pity going on. And I think we can all get stuck in that, no matter what our circumstances are, when we compare to our neighbors, what they have, what we don't. Maybe think, you know, well, why am I going through this? Why am I doing all this work or whatever? I think it's definitely a trap that we can all get stuck in. But when we go into that comparing and almost like discontentment, it takes us where that doesn't change our story. It just steals our joy.
That's so good.
So it's not worth it.
Yeah, so good. Yeah, and I think the third thing we see here is that Martha knew who to go to. I mean, she's a smart one. She is laboring away in the kitchen and trying to get this big fancy meal prepared for everybody. And we're not just talking for a single house guest or two or three people. We're talking probably about 15 people that we're aware of that were in her home. And so she's kind of freaking out, but she knew that she could go to Jesus, and this is what we're told in this text. She went to Jesus and basically said, make my sister come and help me. But there's something to be said for knowing who we can go to when we run into some trouble. So I really like that about her. What's
well,
the next thing?
To oh. Piggyback off of that. This is like my favorite part of the story because I think it really shows you the relationship that Jesus had with Martha.
Yep.
And when her sister wasn't doing what she was supposed to be doing, like she wasted no time. She went straight to Jesus and was like, hey, you need to tell her. She needs to. Jesus didn't yell at her.
No.
He sat there, took everything she had said, let her go on her little tirade, and then just said, Martha, Martha. Like, I love that.
Yeah.
Like, that's the relationship God truly wants with all of us.
That's right.
He loves it.
So good. So yeah, so we can tell Jesus anything at any time. And then the final thing that we see here is that the path to peace begins with one thing. And we see that in verse 42. Jesus said that only one thing is needed. And I can just imagine hearing Martha, only one thing is needed, like, and Mary, the one who's sitting here doing nothing, is the one who chose the good part. It had to be so confusing to her. Like, are you serious? Like, are you sure, Jesus? I thought we were supposed to serve others. I thought we were supposed to be hospitable. I can just see all of these different things coming into play for her. As we think about the to-do list that we all have in front of us. And oh my goodness, I can so relate to this in my own life. In fact, in a recent coaching session, I was working through some ideas of how to free up some capacity, how to free up some margin in my life for more time with my relationship with God, more time with my relationship with you and our girls, and even more time for hobbies and getting away and doing the things that we enjoy. And after working through some ideas, my coach, who may even be listening today, said, Sean, I don't believe we have a coaching issue here. We have a counseling issue. And that was hard truth for me to hear, but he was so right. And I was able to get some help in that area to free up my mind. God created me. I have this personality to go, go, go. But God also says we are to be still and to know that he is God. And I look at Martha, and she just wanted to serve. She just wanted to make sure that everything was just so, just perfect for Jesus. And I love, you already mentioned, but I love how Jesus handled the situation. He didn't yell at her. He didn't judge her. He rebuked her, but it was lightly and with grace. And he said, my dear Martha, I mean, just even that. I mean, how often do we use that with our children when we're correcting them? But he said, my dear Martha, you're worried and upset over all of these details. There's only one thing worth being concerned about. And then he points out that her sister Mary has discovered it, and it's not going to be taken away. And if you actually study this passage in more detail, you'll see that Jesus wasn't rebuking her for her servant's heart. He was rebuking her for the excessive amount that she was serving. So basically what Jesus was saying is, I don't need this five-course meal today. You know, I mean, last week, Pastor Dan took us through the bread and the fish. He probably just wanted something simple. He enjoyed eating. We see that a lot in the Gospels, that he enjoyed fellowshipping and building relationships over food, but he didn't need it to the extreme. And so I think that's something that can help us also. Well, Tara, a few biblical affirmations, you know, that we could pull out from today and encourage women with.
Yeah, there's a lot as you go through scripture, but I just picked out four that I really liked. The first one is found in Psalm 5:12. You are blessed and surrounded by God's favor. The next one is in Psalms as well. This is a very a very well-known verse, Psalm 139:14, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Deuteronomy 7:6, you are God's treasured possession. And the last one I have is 1 John 3:1. It says, God has lavished his great love on you, and you are his daughter. Mm. These are just a few biblical truths. Like I said, the Bible is filled with them. It just shows you how much God loves women, moms, daughters, granddaughters. So with that, with God showing us how much he loves us because he spreads it all throughout his word, that's where we need to stop and take a check and remember, instead of checking off our lists, making sure we're getting all this stuff down, we need to make sure we take time to truly love the one that created us to be the best mom, the best wife, the best grandmother, the best daughter, the best friend we could ever be. So as women that are truly loved by the master of the universe, we need to lead, and we need to lead well.
Yeah, that's just so, so good. And I think about hospitality for you and how it has looked over the years. And one of the ways is through our children and through the friends that they have brought into our home, and how we, through you, have loved on them and served them. And now I think with the boys that have been brought into our home, how we love on them, how we serve them, how we disciple them, how we coach them, mentor them, listen to them, encourage them. That really has been part of our front yard mission as we have opened up the doors to some younger people that have walked into our lives. I think that's awesome. You know, I just want to point out that God's not looking for our work. He's not looking for our completed to-do list. He wants our heart. That's what he wants from us. And there's a quote, it's anonymous, but it says, and I can't find it right now, but it says, the secret weapon for gospel advancement is hospitality. And you can practice it whether you live in a house, whether you live in an apartment, a dorm, or a high rise. So think about that. There is room for you at the table. And whether you are a man listening today or you are a woman listening today, this is for you. How can you proceed with this? How can you take some of the lessons we've learned from the story of Mary and Martha with Jesus and apply them to your own lives? Hey, Tara, I was just wondering if you could close us with prayer and pray over all of the ladies today.
Sure. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful for this opportunity to be able to talk to just women especially, dear Lord, but also to the men and the children. Dear Lord, we're just so thankful for each and every one that is listening here this morning, God. We just pray over them. Dear Lord, give them a special blessing. Help them to know they are loved. They are loved not just by people here on earth, but dear Lord, they are loved by you so much more than we can ever imagine. Dear Lord, you created each of us to be exactly who we are. So I just pray, God, that we would be able to just tap into that and just be able to spread your love to anybody we come in contact with, God. Again, give everybody a very special blessing here this morning. We love you. And we look forward to what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Tara, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks. I have
found a wife of noble character.
Thank you.
I love you.
Love you.
Hey, we're going to spend some time in worship. We're going to give you some moments to make some space, to make some room. And so we want you to be able to respond to some of the things that you heard today. You know, if you have any questions, you can reach out to us at the number on the screen. Shoot us a message. Maybe you want to ask Tara something. Shoot us a message at that number, and we would love to come around you, pray with you. And we want to remind you that God is not only with you, he is for you. But let's take a few moments right now as we kind of unwind and press into all that we've heard today as we listen to this song of worship. Hey, thank you so much for joining us. Happy Mother's Day.